you know. It is a loud cry to God. And we have days like that where we might just literally cry out to God. He says, with my voice. And so he cries out audibly to God. He cries out to the Lord. So this tells us that David's trouble that he's going to describe in a moment was of such agony and vexing of soul that this wasn't just a silent prayer that he's telling us about here in this Psalm 77. This is something that he cried out loud to God. He is vocally crying out loud to the Lord. And so understand that this is within some intensity, and as he shrieks out and cries out to God. Now let's read verses 2 through 9. I'm going to read them slow because I just think if you just think about what some of the things David says here, you're going to be like, oh, wow. Whew. And so I want to read this. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. It's kind of an odd thing to say, isn't it? I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my soul in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Look at these questions he's got. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. So that's a pause. In this prayer, he paused here. He's got these questions. He isn't giving us this so he can teach us a lesson, you know. David isn't thinking, well, I'm going to teach generations to follow, you know, the answer to these questions. No, these are real questions that he has. These are real things that he's going through. Things he's, like, where's God at? And we're going to look at these, but when you read this, we see that what it was that bothered David so greatly that made him cry out in this great manner. He was sore. He was very sorely bothered. He says there, and just for a little bit of clarity there, he says, "My soul ran in the night." I don't know why it's translated the way it is in the King James Version here. If you have a different version at all, it might even, you're going to be a little bit puzzled reading that, because I might actually say hand there. Hand and sore is a real difference. But the word actually means hand. And ran there, speaking of stretch. And so the idea there is actually, my soul ran the night. I don't know why it says soul ran the night. It's actually speaking forth of reaching forth of the hand. And so it's David stretching forth the hand. And the New King James Version actually has, my hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. Maybe you have a version that says, I don't know. But the thought here is that though he continued, the thought here when you look at this, though he continually prayed throughout the night, he still could not find comfort. So when he says, my soul refused to be comforted, he's not saying, God wanted to comfort me, but I didn't want it. Now, I think sometimes people do reject comfort. They're not ready for it, you know. But David here, when you look at the whole thing, he's stretching forth for it. He wants it. He says, my soul refused because I couldn't be comforted. There was no comfort to be found. And, you know, we must be honest. Sometimes we're looking to God for comfort, but it doesn't come like that. It doesn't just, oh, Lord, give me comfort. Ooh, there it is. It doesn't happen like that. Sometimes it is a crying out throughout the night. Sometimes it does go on for a season before we finally seem to have it of the Lord. So it doesn't always come easy. And so we see here that stretching forth, and his soul is refusing to be comforted. He's trying to get it, but it just won't happen. Verse 3, it seemed that the more he thought upon God, he's troubled. I remembered God and was troubled. The word troubled speaks of a commotion within, a rage, a war. So he has a he has a commotion within his soul as he thinks upon God. Maybe you felt that battle within you, that war, that rage and agonizing in prayer in a day of trouble, reaching out to God. It's like a war of confusion going on within you as you think upon God and you're trying to figure things out or whatever it may be. In verse 3, he says here, as he describes himself, he says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And so we see a picture here of David of being overwhelmed, of the sea, if you would, just overflowing him, and as he describes it in other places. In Psalm 143, only just a couple of verses, and this will be the only passage we turn to tonight, but in Psalm 143, we find this word overwhelmed again, and he says this in verse 3 and 4, for the enemy had persecuted my soul, he has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I mean, really? Yeah, really. That's what he's going through. That's his emotions. The enemies are so much. He's overwhelmed with what's going on. He feels desolate in his heart. Maybe you have felt like it. Maybe you felt like the enemy of your soul had just overwhelmed you. Your heart feels desolate. That word desolate speaks of being stunned, astonished, devastated. And so that's the things that David is really experiencing. Back in Psalm 77 and verse 4, he says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. We see him crying out to God, hands raised, stretched out, overwhelmed. The picture here is he's laying awake at night. He's not sleeping. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. The idea here isn't that he's just looking to God. It might be a sense of a waiting upon God, but he's not able to even sleep at this time. And he's got to a place where he's cried out to God, and then he says, I cannot speak. I mean, have you ever been there? You've cried out to the Lord so much, cried out to God so much that finally you're just like, you have nothing else to say. I don't have anything else. I'm empty. I cannot even speak at this time. And so we just see an emptying of himself to God. Now, in verses 5 and 6, though, as he's crying out to the Lord, he's beginning to think about some things as he sits there in silence and he says, I call to remembrance my soul in the night. He's thinking back to other times. Whenever he wasn't crying, he was singing. When he wasn't like this, he was praising the Lord at night. He said, I call to remembrance my soul tonight. I commune with my own heart and my spirit, made diligent search. So he thinks back to the times, you know what, I haven't always been like this. You know, all my days have not been like this. There have been days, nights where I remember singing to the Lord and praising the Lord at night. And so then upon that he says, will the Lord cast off forever? I think he's thinking, is it going to always be like this? Am I always going to feel like this, like I feel right now? Is the Lord ever going to show any favor to me? Is his mercy gone? Has God forgotten to be gracious? And so he's asking these questions. So as he remembers other nights, he wasn't crying, but rather singing. He remembers moments when he was happy and joyful in the Lord as at one point. He says, is this all gone? Is this never going? Am I never going to get that back? Well, we know David gets it back. But sometimes, I tell you what, whenever we're going through it, we don't think we're ever going to get it back. I'll never get to that place where I can stretch my hands forth, not where it's no longer, Lord, where are you? It's finally again, once again, the way it was, thank you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Will I ever get that back? Well, David does, and we can too. Now, as David thinks about all these things, he says he communes with his own heart, meaning he looks within him, what's going on? He's really communing with his own heart. He's looking deep within. So I think he's asking a question, why am I feeling like this? And so he says, when I commune with my own heart, and he's asking these questions at the same time, he's curious as to what is going on within him. Why am I feeling so? And so, in verse 7 through 9, as we read that, and he has these questions. Here we see what it is that the psalmist seems to be struggling over? What is really gnawing at him? Why is he overwhelmed? He looks around. He thinks in his day of trouble, whatever it is that's going on, we're not even having real clarity as far as all that's going on, but we know what he's feeling. And whatever it is making him say, where's God at? Where's he at? Where's his favor? Where's his mercy? I'm trusting his promise, but you know, where's an answer? There'll be all kinds of questions we could have. Has God forgotten to be gracious? There's a lot of questions we could have, isn't there? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Where's his promises? Hath God forgotten? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Is God mad at me? That's the question he's asking, isn't it? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Is God mad at me? Is that what's going on? A lot of different questions. You know, having the questions is normal. You know, we can have these questions. We're trying to figure out, you know, why are we going through what we're going through? And we still may not understand it all, but we got these questions. Now, were we to be honest, we would have to admit that we have days like this, days of trouble, days of spiritual turmoil, or whatever it is we're going through, this battle within our soul, and we pour our hearts out to God over and over, and we stretch out our arms, we've cried out to God, then we've been dumb with silence, we begin to ask questions, trying to figure it all out. Where's the Lord at in all this? But how many times, though, after we have all these questions, this turmoil, then we begin to settle down a little bit, and then we begin to remember. We begin to think. And that's what David does. And whereas there's a turning point. After David had all his questions, notice verse 10, and I said, this is my infirmity. But I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. That David knows that this problem, that he understands that it's from his perspective. He said, this is my infirmity. Lord, is it the way I'm looking at it? Is it my problem? Well, God sees things completely different than how we see it, doesn't he? He's trying to see God's hand at work in the present, and he's having a hard time with that. So now he considers, it's my infirmity. Lord, it's me. He now sets out to think about God, how God worked in the past. How God worked in the past. So, because right now, David's having a hard time seeing what God's doing. Where's God at? Has he forgotten to be merciful? He's got all these questions. And so now he begins upon this process of remembering the years of the Lord, remembering his right hand, remembering the works of the Lord. And so that's what he does in the next several verses. You know, it helps us so much spiritually that whenever we're going through those days of darkness and we're trying to figure out where's God's mercy is at today, it does us well to take a step back and to look back at times and remember what God's done in the past. And you know, often, if we're honest, will look back on those times and remember, oftentimes we had those same questions during that time as we were going through it. We went through those same emotions, those same struggles. Where's God at? What's God doing? And then after we get so far past that, we can look back and say, boy, that God was with us right there in the middle of all of it. He was right there. But at the moment, we didn't see it. And so we remember that. It's good to remember those things. Look at verse 11 through 19 as he begins to remember. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So he's remembering what the Lord has done. He's thinking about the house of God. Thou art the God that does wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. So he's just starting to remind himself of all the great things God has done in the past. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. And so he's thinking there, I think, about the sea parting before the nation of Israel. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Maybe remembering Mount Sinai there. and the commandments. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. God, we can't even see where all you've been. Here I am remembering, but I can't even see everywhere you've been, God. So he begins to remember the works of the Lord, to think about them, tell about them, talk about them. You know, when we're crying out for present mercy, mercy today that we need and grace, we're going to do well to remember God's past mercy and grace. Knowing that he will once more do what he has done in the past. And no, we cannot really live off, you know, the past in that sense, but it's a good reminder. When we think about the manna that he gave us yesterday, it can remind us that he'll give us the manna today. In verse 12, he says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You know, sometimes one of the things that helps us whenever we're having such turmoil here within us is to begin to saying out loud, you know, the things that God's done. I will talk of thy works. I will talk about what the Lord has done. You know, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what trouble you're facing, struggles you're facing, is causing all kinds of questions, you know, begin to remember and to talk out loud of the things God has done. You know, it helps all of us, whether we're the ones going through it, saying it out loud, or whether it's somebody else going through it, ourselves saying it out loud. Who knows how it'll help them to remind them of the great things that God has done. And we have found, no doubt, many times that God has comforted us in times like that, whenever we're going through days of trouble, and then we begin to reminisce and we begin to think about what God has done. In verse 13, he remembers God's presence and glory in the sanctuary in the house of God. So he thought about the house of the Lord and the works that God had done there. In verse 16 through 19, he remembers the victories the saints had over the enemies, how God brought them out, how the waters parted. So no matter what we're going through, no matter what is before us, let us remember what God has done in the past. Now, remember that God can definitely do it again. And so I hope at least for now you're seeing something here. You're seeing this struggle that David had. And you know, I remember being a young Christian and going through some things, very, very strong emotions, you know, trying to figure things out in my life and questions and so forth. And it was almost like it was always a sin to ask, well, why did this happen? Why did that happen? I understand we shouldn't shake our fists at God and say, God, why'd you do that? I get that. But there's a natural questioning, isn't there? When we're going through something, Lord, why? I don't understand. Where you at? What's this for? How long is this going to last? You know, when you're going to show up? I mean, why am I not comforted yet? Why don't I have any peace yet? How are we going to get through this? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. That is natural. You're crying out to God and you're seeking the Lord. Lord, where are you at in this? But don't stop there. Go remember the works of the Lord. Remember what he's done in the past. Remember his grace. Remember his mercy. What he's done for the people of God in the past. And listen, his hands are not tied. His hands are not tied. He can and shall still be there for us today. I found it very, very interesting, the very last verse of this chapter. He said, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I mean, David here, he's a leader too, you know. And so I think about this as he remembers this. He's looking back and saying, you know what, Lord, you led through all of that, but you used Moses and Aaron through that too. And you know, it's a good reminder to pray for those that lead us, as they pray for us and as they seek to lead us. You know, we don't always have the answers. Leaders don't. I wish I did. I wish I could always at every moment. You know, that's what you want as a pastor. You want when people are going through things, you want to show up and say, here you go, this is it, you know. But I'll be out, sometimes I go through things, and you know what? I'm right there where David's at, you know. Where's the Lord at? I go through that at times. But you know what? I have to take a step back, and I have to look at this, and I have to say, you know, this is in the moment. God's been good to us in the past. He's been merciful. Look what He's done for us. I don't understand where He's at right now in all this, but I know He's been with us in the past, and I know in the future. I have a faith. I have a hope in what God has said He's going to do, and I know He's going to do it. I don't understand everything that's happening right now, and this is a great verse, and actually me and Matt was talking about this the other night, and about the peace that passes understanding. Peace that passes understanding. And I've been thinking about that phrase over and over and over again. The peace that passes understanding. One, it tells you that the people of God can have a peace that the world cannot explain. You can have a peace that you cannot explain. So how do you have that peace? Well, I can't explain it. But not only that, but it's a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that doesn't always need understanding. We can have a peace that doesn't always need understanding. Listen, we can't wait till we understand it to have the peace of God. There's a lot of things that happen in my life, and I'll be quite honest with you, I still don't understand why they happened the way they did. But I have a peace that God knew what He was doing, even though I don't understand it. You don't have to have understanding to have God's peace. And I think that brings peace in itself. To let you know, you can have peace without understanding. You can still have the questions and the struggles and don't know why, etc. And still have the peace of God. And it does pass understanding. When the world sees it, when the world sees that faith, I will still struggle to get there. But God can still give peace. And we might go through all these emotions. And it's okay, it's natural to go through all that. At times in the days of trouble, but on the other end, God can still give peace that we cannot even explain. When our faith is settled in Him, in the anchor of our soul, our great God and King. Let's pray. Father, I pray for Your help. Lord, I don't have anything else to say tonight. But Lord, I'm thankful for what we see happening with David here. And as David experienced some very real and raw emotions in what he was going through. And Lord, we experience these things. Sometimes we're afraid to even say we have felt them or experienced them. But Lord, we're so thankful as we read this that You brought him out of it as he began to remember the mercy of the Lord in the past. And Lord, so tonight we want to acknowledge and remember Your mercy in our life all up to this point. And Lord, no matter what we're questioning in our life at the moment, Lord, You have led us all the way faithfully. And Lord, as a leader, sometimes we don't understand as well the things that are going on. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to lead Your people, Lord, through the days of trouble. And Lord, I know this for certain, that You have given us a promise in Your Word that no matter how David felt at this moment, Lord, the real truth to us today is that You shall never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we might cry out, Lord, where are You? We might cry out, is Your mercy gone? But Lord, Your mercy is everlasting. This is the same David that said over and over and over again, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. But at this brief moment, he's saying, is it gone? God, we can experience that and feel that, but we know we know that's not the way it is. And Lord, we thank You that we have that faith to come out on the other side and say, no, His mercy's still there. He's still tender. He's still present. And His grace is still sufficient. Lord, be a comfort to Your people. Lord, and lead them. Be with us, Lord, in the days ahead of us, especially be with the Wants family. Comfort them as only You can, and give them that peace that passes understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. All right, David.